Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wetsuit on. Come on, come on, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name is Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And the man who always does me wrong, it's Pete Donaldson.
Was that the Von Bondies?
No. Welcome to the Football Ramble, everybody. Here we are once again. It's a new week. And it was the vaccines. It was the vaccines.
Pete was thinking of the Von Bondi single, Come On, Come On, from like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, it's longer than that, wasn't it?
Maybe 15 years ago.
We don't have time. We do not have time, ladies and gentlemen. But I tell you what, Crystal Palace have got a little bit more time to put their feet up in the Premier League because they've survived. They've survived with
the
game.
Get the flippies on. and the floppies.
Imagine they played their last game in flip flops.
There was always talk, wasn't there, of when Man United won the league with games to spare, that they were going to put Peter Schmeichel up front.
That was the playground chat.
As if, Sir Alex Ferguson would ever jeopardise that future Knight of the Realm.
Not good enough for a Knight of the Realm.
Stuart Pearce, however,
absolutely.
They weren't even winning the league, were they?
Second game of the season.
Actually, weren't they aiming for the Champions League?
I don't know. I can't remember, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But I think Robbie Fowler missed a crucial penalty.
That's right.
Maybe.
I think they were. Let's rewind and take a moment to appreciate that. They were trying to get fourth spot, and he put David James up front.
I'm not sure if it was... I can't quite remember, but we must move on, because Sam Allardyce...
No, I want to drag it back. James attempted a volley, and he air-kicked it, and it was very funny.
All right, well, there you are.
That haunts him to this very day, I'm sure.
Peter, you are Sam Allardyce.
What do you know about volleys?
To reward your Crystal Palace players for staying up, you've decided to throw them a surprise party. Where do you have it, and what is the theme? You mull on that, Peter, while Jim and Luke go before you.
Jim? So, what I would do, right, is... were I Sam Allardyce? It's nice to embody Big Sam for this question. It's rare that you get
to put on
the Sam suit. What I would do is I would hire a massive, massive sort of like office building, right? And I'd get all the players there and surprise them. And then I'd shout, "Welcome to the party, Palace!" And it'd be a sort of reenactment of Die Hard with me as John McClane. A sort of paintball kind of party hybrid. Because, you know, there's a party going on when Die Hard starts.
Yep.
It would just be me. I'd have set traps, obviously, sort of paintball related traps.
You would have fallen. You're on traps within 5 minutes, Jim.
Yeah, but I'd be Sam Allardyce, mate. So actually, I'd be fine, wouldn't I?
Are you John McClane or Sam Allardyce?
I'm Sam Allardyce as John McClane.
You've thrown a party.
Not hard to follow.
You've thrown a party for Palace because they've survived. Yes. You then take them all hostage, and then people start getting killed.
It's a lovely time. We're in the trenches together. It's been muck and bullets.
Like a lovely time.
You're going to be in an air vent, drinking a pint of wine, and like needing a whittle, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And I want to remind them that, you know, if you work for Sam, it might be fun, but it's also going to be a lot of hard work.
Right.
That's what got them out of that situation.
You often get the points, Jim. I feel that you're already up against it. But you are Sam Allardyce, so you could pull it out the bag. Who knows?
My tie's around my head. Does that help?
Marginally.
I just keep adding things.
He's wearing a white vest.
Now you're talking. Yeah. You're back in contention.
I'd go for... I'd split the squad into two groups, and I would play the role of Sam Allardyce as Richard O'Brien in the Crystal Maze.
Is it Jim? There you go.
Basically, but instead of doing the thing where they get locked in or they get a crystal or whatever, it would just be like a head-to-head situation.
Right, yeah.
And one person just gets eliminated and you just go all the way through till the end. And when there's one person left, they get an improved contract on better terms. So it's all to play for. I mean, you could be someone like, you know, Papa Suarez, not played all season because he had a broken leg. He could be in the mix-up for an improved contract, even though he's not played.
Depending on his leg.
It might hinder him in the Crystal Maze scenario. We don't know. He might have to go for a mental game rather than a physical round.
They've had a few mental games this season of Palace.
But if you don't like the idea of Big Sam... shaving his own head and wearing one of those snazzy jackets to be like Richard O'Brien, and I can't help you.
No, that's right. And he can definitely play the old harmonica, can't he, Big Sam?
Big time.
Can have a go.
Yeah. Okay. 90s nostalgic box ticked. Peter.
Don't ask me about Mumsy, as he puts a handkerchief over his face. Yeah.
Peter, what are you going for?
I'm
going
to go for location aircraft carrier.
Okay.
Patrick Van Aanholt jumping out of a cake without his trousers or pants on.
Clothes at the top.
Like under siege.
And I worry that some listeners might not get the Crystal Maze references. He comes out with that.
You got Patrick Van Aanholt as Erika Eleniak.
Yeah.
From under siege.
Erika Eleniak. I've forgotten. It was, yes. Yeah. It was, yeah.
Who's Steven Seagal in this? Big Sam, I'm assuming.
Yeah, Big Sam Seagal. Steven Seagal.
Who plays Tommy Lee Jones, the bad guy?
Oh, I don't know. He can't keep
Steven
adding
Seagal.
People in.
Steven Seagal, yes. Big He's Sam available. Plays Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal plays Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes.
Because Steven Seagal's like a real life bad guy at the moment, so that would work pretty well.
Russian citizenship.
Doesn't make
you a bad guy.
No, I'm just saying, he's got Russian citizenship, hasn't he?
Sort of makes him a bad guy in the plot of most of his own films.
Why is he a real life bad guy? Because actually, he's a law enforcer in America.
But I think he's got some sort of honorary sheriff's badge. He's been knocking about with despots for ages.
He is a strange bellend.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no, Pete, carry on.
That's it. Just Patrick Van Aanholt without any trousers on or pants, jumping out of a cake.
Okay.
And doing a little dance.
And the rest of the squad are just watching.
It's not really a party, is it? It's not really a crescendo to a party.
Is a cake involved?
Appreciate your answer, though,
Pete. I'd also like to thank you for taking the heat off me.
He will do that.
He can always be relied upon.
I'll have a fun evening playing Deal or No Deal in Wings, hosted by Noel Edmonds. Napkins on faces as opposed to fingers on buzzers.
Why Yeah. Is that even worse?
Yeah. Got me the pointer.
Why have you got Noel Edmonds in there?
It's got me the pointer, hasn't
you
it?
You mentioned
right.
Noel Edmonds when I wasn't here, and I thought, well, I want to get involved.
I want to get in. Peter hates Edmonds.
Of course he does.
he gets all my gigs.
He hates Edmonds. You're not crossing over there with Noel Edmonds.
He gets all your
Hang
gigs.
On a minute. Noel Edmonds has got a fine broadcaster behind him, whatever you think of him. He's on Saturday Night Prime Time.
Yeah. Noel Edmonds' house party. Can you imagine if one of your house parties was flipping broadcasted on the box?
Wait, it's just called Noel's house party. There was no other Noel around at the time. It didn't have to be Noel Edmonds' house party in case no one got confused with the other Noels on Saturday Night.
I'm sure there was another Noel knocking around. Noel Coward.
Noel from Hearsay. Yeah. That was a bit later on.
Noel Whelan.
Hello, Pete, do not compare yourself to Noel Edmonds. All right, you wear the same shirt. So
right, there we are.
And you dye your beard.
Yeah. Right, fine, Luke's got the points in terms of diplomacy.
Better.
In the Premier League, Chelsea are champs.
Yeah,
they've got the points.
They've got all of the points. Pulis was close to ruining the party.
Could you see how animated he was on the touchline as well? He's partying is ruining a party. That's how he gets off.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But to be fair, you don't want another side celebrating winning the league at your ground.
Nah.
You know,
Pulis looked absolutely pissed off.
Yeah.
Like in that photo knocking about afterwards of him having a bit of dinner with Jeff Shrees, Pulis looked absolutely gutted.
Fuming. For a number of reasons.
You wouldn't be having to share a table with Jeff Shrees, but that aside, I mean, he looked terrible. He looked really annoyed.
And that was nothing to do with the result.
But West Brom did make a good fist of it. I mean,
they had chances.
Yeah, Rondon had a chance, didn't he? He's sort of a little bit out of nick.
Chelsea scored with their 23rd attempt, which shows you how hard West Brom worked to sort of block them and keep them out. That Johnny Evans handball was slightly outrageous, wasn't it?
It was
just sort of shuffled the ball around.
It was like the new version of a Cruyff turn.
Yeah,
using the hand.
It was a good game though, because sometimes those games, you know, if Chelsea ran out sort of 3 or 4 nil winners, a bit like they did at Goodison Park. You think it's a bit of a shame, but it was a proper battle, and they needed to earn that 3 points, which of course won them or clinched them the league title.
Yeah.
And so it was decent. It was nice for Batshuayi, the forgotten man,
absolutely,
who came on and got the winner, came off the bench. He'll always have that memory at Stamford Bridge, whether he's there or not after the summer.
It's hardly Aguero-esque, is it?
Do you think his season will be, that's his Chelsea career over now, you think? Is that what you're saying?
You know what? I mean, there's a decent argument that he could be moved on because he's barely featured.
I mean, he's a player who could start for a whole host of decent sides in European football.
Yeah, he was seen as a real, like, one of the best prospects in Europe at the time.
Yeah, he was. I mean, who knows? He might well get a chance. I mean, if Diego Costa's moved on, they sign somebody who's not a direct replacement in terms of style. You know, you could have more of a dynamic kind of front three with Batshuayi because he's not a sort of old-fashioned number nine.
But if you look at where Chelsea need to probably strengthen for next season, because they'll have a Champions League as well, of course, they're probably going to be looking to strengthen the wing-back positions, aren't they? Because they don't really have any specialists. I mean, if you look at Spurs, who are the other top team in the division, they've got pretty identifiable sort of wide players. Like they've got Davis and Trippier as well as Rose and Walker. Whereas Chelsea don't really have that. I mean, remember when Chelsea were beaten by Crystal Palace? I think Pedro played right wing back that day.
So that's
probably a good example of why they need to strengthen there.
Yeah. Moses has played there as well, hasn't he, a lot?
Moses is their first choice.
Moses has, that's the point.
They just need backup there. And in midfield probably as well. But also the striking situation with Costa, because it is a reasonable chance. Well, he's not settled in England, is he? I mean, ever since he's been here, he's been linked away over and over again. So they're obviously going to need to strengthen there as well. So Batshuayi, I mean, it may not make sense for them to move him on.
Well, if they do play with a back three, they will need some sort of wing-back utility kind of players, if you like, whatever you want to call them. Because I don't think players sort of call themselves wing-backs these days, do you? Years ago, I can remember in a build-up to an FA Cup final when they used to do that thing with the players. Yeah. Who would say their name and their position. Jason McAteer said, McAteer, wing-back.
Did he? Okay,
you know,
right.
He just find himself as a wing-back. I don't think players do that so much these
days. Well, I think it's just because full-backs play two positions anyway.
Yeah. Right, exactly, yeah. As they've always done in Brazil.
Well, like, work rate is a given.
If they won in Brazil, it's just the opposite one.
Like, work rate is just, it's just 100%. Kind of like basic, isn't it, now?
The turnaround in the fullback position since we were kids, when you just put any kid who couldn't play at fullback. Probably, arguably, the most important position on the pitch. So it's a real turnaround.
Well, and you're echoing the thoughts of Big Jack Charlton, who said that, was it in the early 90s, perhaps?
He said he was ahead of his time, Big Jack.
Ahead of his time.
He's possibly even achieved more in the game than me.
we do have time to discuss that, but we don't need to. But they might well need other options in the wing back position.
If you want to compete on all those fronts, you need to have backup. It's a really physically demanding role,
because they will have European football next season.
Exactly.
Much has been made about them not having European football this season, but we can point to other sides that haven't or have gone out early and they didn't win the league.
Well, Liverpool didn't have it.
Well, there's an obvious example in recent times, but
and nor did Sunderland.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are a lot of teams next season who are going to have to show the their promise effectively, aren't they?
Newcastle one of them?
Well, you know, you're looking at Man United, Liverpool, they're going to have to turn this kind of like nearly kind of position into an actual attempt at the title.
I think
they?
Man United will want a nearly position next season.
Yeah. I think Man United is a great example. I'll come on to that in a minute, but I think that's a great example. I mean, yeah, we'll move on to that in a sec. But Chelsea deserve all the plaudits, all the credit. I mean, this is the first show we've done since they've won the league, so we should make a note of saying, you know, Conte has achieved an incredible amount in such a short space of time, and they might even win the double. I mean, I'd fancy them to win the double, actually.
Well, we were saying that months ago, weren't we, that they look like they could be on for that. And it's worth noting as well that they did have that little wobble at the start of the season where the system wasn't quite working, so Conte changed it and just basically immediately fixed it with no problem.
It is funny when a tinker like that works straight away, like an instant impact, or a change of manager, as Leicester had, slightly different circumstances. But you're right, with that change, you know, the Chelsea had lost to, was it Liverpool at home, and then they were battered by Arsenal. Mm-hmm. That's how long ago that was.
That sounds mental.
It does, it could happen again at Wembley then, Jim, in a few
Someone was saying to me that, because I think I might have mentioned it on Thursday, talking about the distractions you'd have coming to a new country, doing a new job, moving to a new country completely with everything. Someone was saying to me, they chatted to Conte, and he was saying that he's not really seen any of England apart from away stadiums.
So there's an Italian restaurant, isn't there, near his house that he likes, that he goes to all the time, apparently. He's very well liked there and always poses for photos with fans. He seems a good egg.
He was maintaining that he's not even been sightseeing in London or anything, for example. He's just been so dedicated to the job.
But I was going to say, the type of character that he cuts, or the type of figure he cuts, he's so focused. And I know that sounds quite an obvious thing for managers. I'm sure all managers, are focused in one way or another, but he is, you're right, Luke, I think he would just be like, right, I'm going to win the league, I'm going to do this, and when the chance comes to have a little bit of time off and see
England
or whatever.
Exactly,
because he's there to do a job, and my goodness, has he not just done that? And you're saying he's a good egg, Jim, and I understand what you're saying, but I mean, let me remind you, Andrea Pirlo said, when Conte speaks, his words assault you.
Yeah. he seems to be a sort of guy who sets a high standard and then lives that standard.
Completely.
Expects you to do the same.
Absolutely.
And I think Inter Milan are going to be enjoying it next season.
Do you think he'll go, do you?
The fruits of his labours at Chelsea.
Well, the one thing that Inter will try and do is play on this fact that maybe he is a little bit homesick. You know, there has been talks, and you can understand
his family stayed in Turin, didn't they? So that's obviously going to be a big factor.
Yeah. Maybe there's an Italian sleeper cell in that Italian restaurant. Yeah, trying to get him interested. Yeah,
yeah, I like that. I like the idea of that. Yeah, a little field office at the back.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Like they're making extra delicious Italian food, and then they're going, "Oh, we're moving back to Italy now." You have to come and follow us.
Yeah. Don't listen to what your contract says.
That is a fascinating Italian accent.
Yeah, well, will be.
They're sleepers, aren't they? So they can talk whatever they want. But a lot has been made about Spurs' improvement on last season. Absolutely. Well, it sounds a bit of a stupid thing to say, but Chelsea were improved from last season.
Last season.
I mean, come on, you know.
They got 50 points last season.
It's a slightly churlish thing to say in one sense, but in another sense, it's not really. I know that kind of a bit silly.
Well,
but
Leicester ate up about 17 places, to
be fair. Well, they've switched, haven't they?
Also, as well, the last season was undeniably an anomaly, wasn't it?
It was. Of course it was.
It doesn't make it any less of an achievement that Conte's turned that around. But, it was unfathomably strange that Chelsea dropped off in the huge way they did. And it
completely
was
a
sort of strange. As much as Leicester's was a sort of perfect storm of conditions, Chelsea's was sort of the opposite of it, wasn't it? It was just an absolutely disastrous set of conditions for a title.
I mean, I think when it goes wrong with Mourinho, he just lays waste to everything in front
absolutely.
Of him. And as I said to you before, Gus Hiddink was saying it's ridiculous, the level of morale there. Clearly, they underachieved hugely last season. I don't think it necessarily. I mean, the only way affects it materially is the fact I didn't have to play in Europe this season. That's the big difference.
But I wonder what the psychology is when Conte goes in. Is it kind of easy for him because he doesn't have a tough act to follow?
Yeah.
So people are dying, or crying out rather, for a strong leader. He's clearly a strong leader. He comes in and he can whip them all into shape. Or is it twice the job because you've got to pick up everybody? If you come on and take over a healthy side who are doing pretty well and are in good spirits, is that a bit easier, or is that harder to kind of shift their mentality towards what you're trying to do? See what I mean?
There are pros and cons to both situations, aren't there? So if you come into a team that's already got really high standards and you're a manager who can deliver those as well, they're already used to fulfilling those high standards. So on one level, that might be a bit easier. But as you say, it's completely unfeasible to suggest that Chelsea could have finished lower than 10th.
But at the end of the day, Chelsea can afford the best managers in the world every single time.
I do think
there's never any halfway house for them, is there? It's always just the best that's available.
Also, Peter, you talk about their improvement. I mean, I'll say what I just said, but an improvement for technically speaking, if they finished sixth, that would have been an improvement, but it still wouldn't have been good enough. He'd have been getting hammered for that. the same way that, you know, Mourinho probably should be being hammered now, you know.
So. Well, I was about to say, because in contrast to Manchester United, Chelsea have improved greatly. Of course it was an anomaly, so as I say, slightly churlish, but there is a point in there somewhere. Whereas Manchester United, and if we're ready, we'll move on to Spurs and Man United. Manchester United haven't improved that much. Yes, they're in a European final, but it's not the European final that that they would want to be, and obviously Champions League.
Can I give you a quote from 2013 from someone?
Please do.
I don't want to win the Europa League. It would be a big disappointment for me. I don't want my players to feel the Europa League as our competition.
Pete Donaldson?
Jose Mourinho, 2013, after Chelsea won the Europa League under Rafa Benitez.
Yeah, well, that's just a dig at Rafa Benitez, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, there's another subplot. They're going to be against each other.
Yeah. He's talking up, isn't he? Sort of, you know, how Man United have never won it, and winning that will mean they've won everything. So, you know, he's changed that to be a positive thing as well. But yeah, I mean, if they win two trophies, that's a good season, right?
Well, it's relative.
It's a weird one, isn't it?
It's relative. I think if they won the Europa League, they rescue the season because they get into the Champions League. So they do have a kind of a get-out-of-jail-free card there, a potential ace up the sleeve and other such cliched kind of
But the thing is the big story of this game, obviously Spurs won. I think they won 17 and drew 2 in their home league, which is incredible. Yeah. And they were fantastic again against United. They were much better. And it's almost like, I feel it should be mentioned that people just accept the fact that Spurs are much better than Man United. It's like, that's just what you expect. Well, actually, really, Mourinho should be doing a lot better.
Yeah,
I mean, I think I'm right in saying this is the most expensively assembled squad ever. You know, and so he talks about they played a lot of games and that sort of stuff, and they have played a lot of games. But again, going back to 2013, just for comparison, Chelsea played 69 games in 2013. They won the Europa League. They used fewer players than Man United, and they came third in the Premier League under Benitez. So, you know, you can use all the excuses you want, but Mourinho had absolutely no excuse for Man United to be good against Spurs. And I'll tell you why. The team talk's written for him already. Mm. You know, go in there, do a Tony Pulis if you like, spoil the party. They think they're going to win. They haven't lost at home this season. Yeah. Go and show them you're still Manchester United.
Yeah.
Go and not only that, by the way, go and play your way into my Europa League final team. Mm. You want to play in the Europa League final, show me why you deserve to be in there.
Absolutely.
They were absolutely dreadful.
Yeah. And they have been for a few games as well. It's like, he's sulking. It's like it started really early, isn't it, within his Man United career. The way he's talking about the league games, and he doesn't really want to do them, and, you know, they're focusing entirely on the Europa League, and that's the only thing they're interested in. It denigrates the league. Mm. It really lacks class, and it's disappointing to hear. He should be better than that.
He's got to be very careful, Mourinho, because if Manchester United, I mean, say if they lost the Europa League final and they finished the season where they are, and next season, it's not quite going right for him. Manchester United, you know, if he ends up losing his job, say, into next season, which could happen. Mm. I mean, Manchester United fans, for their sake, hopefully that won't happen. But it could happen. Where does he go from there?
But he needs to understand the level of the club he's at.
Absolutely.
So United are probably going to play 63 games this season, I think. I don't know how many games they played in 1999, but I imagine it was quite a lot. Mm. And they won the three big trophies there. You know, as I just said, the Chelsea situation with Benitez, I mean, they finished third that season. United are going to probably finish over 20 points off top spot with the most expensively assembled squad of all time. Look at, and I realise that Conte's turned it around from a very low marker from last year, by the way, which was also Mourinho's fault.
Yeah.
So you've got to understand that league gets very, very competitive year on year. And I think that if it wasn't the fact that people are in love with Mourinho in the press, he'd be getting a lot harder ride than he's getting. And it's absolutely no coincidence that he was happy to answer the questions at that press conference, but as soon as he was asked a question, I forget the exact wording, about why Spurs were so much better than Man United, because he's got no answer for that. He's got no real excuse. Yeah. I mean, he plays like a young player in holding midfield. He's got Ander Herrera on the bench. Herrera's started about 43 games this season or something, which, I mean, in these days at the very top level isn't a ridiculous amount of games.
No.
You know, and I know they have had a lot of games, but if you want to compete in competition, you do have a lot of games. And it's not as though he's not had the resources to put together a team.
And there's no tournament this summer.
You
sort of can run your players into the ground at this point, surely. And also the players they've brought in, it's Eric Bailly, Henrik Mkhitaryan, Zlatan and Paul Pogba. That is an incredible window, and they've not capitalised on it.
Do you know, I haven't 100% researched this, but I'll be very surprised if I'm not correct by saying, again, going back to that 2013 season, United spent, in this summer just gone, more on Paul Pogba alone than Chelsea spent on all their summer signings that season, before that season. So I mean, it's not as though you haven't had the chance to buy players. Yeah.
A lot of that's inflation, but the point still stands.
What, 3 years?
Not money went to the agent anyway.
Absolutely. But you're absolutely right, Luke, in terms of how those players should be trying to play their way into the Europa League side, but Mourinho with his attitude towards the games, he's sort of letting them off, isn't he, from doing that? Like, can this be good prep for a final?
But my point isn't that, you know, that the players are going to follow his example. I've absolutely no doubt that Mourinho just says, "Don't worry about what I'll say.
Yeah.
I'll take care of that." I don't think the players are affected by it. I just think that he gets an easy ride from the press, probably even from us as well, because I quite like his attitude.
True enough, he did. It was a post match interview. He was a little bit prickly, and he walked off before.
He left.
Yeah. Well, he
can't get more prickly than that.
Yeah, but when I
rode a cacti around and left.
But when I realised the report was Jeff Shreves, I thought, well,
fair enough. Yeah. No, but you can't get more prickly than actually removing yourself from the theatre of conflict. Yeah. What else you got to do? Like, murder the guy. There's nothing else you can do.
Yeah, well, no comment on that. But Spurs, whole season unbeaten at White Hart Lane. It's the end of White Hart Lane. It's the end of, which it is a little bit sad because it was, for me, one of the best grounds in London to watch football. So, it was all a decent, always a decent atmosphere down there.
It's one of those things where you completely understand why they want to do it. You know, they have to compete and that sort of stuff, and everything has to move on. But of course, it's sad. They've been there for over 100 years. I
mean, but at least the new pitch will overlap the old one.
Yeah, they're only moving next door, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I'm almost saying they might technically be closer to White Hart Lane than they were before. Yeah, so
in a minute, they're doing it the right way.
They've got more space.
Is it like a stadium Venn diagram where they sort of two intersect? Could somebody actually get a season ticket in the same seat
but facing the other way? That'd be nice. That'd be lovely.
That would be very nice. Weird.
The seat that they just bought for 50 quid.
One of the most cockney things of all time, Chaz and Dave coming out on a pitch at half time.
Hadn't they retired like a million times? Yeah, they're back out on tour.
Chaz has been ill,
but as soon as he gets over the esophageal problems he's got.
So two things I can remember is, Chaz's illness, but Dave's wife also passed away. I think he decided he didn't want to do it anymore, but then he changed his mind.
Pull back in for another job.
That's right. Listeners from abroad who don't know who Chaz and Dave are, Google Chaz and Dave Rabbit for the most English experience you're ever likely to have.
And of course, all the fans were on the pitch at full time.
Yeah, they said, don't spoil everyone's special day.
They made like a token effort, I will spoil everyone's special day.
If we're all on the pitch, then we're all spoiling it together, so we're all on the same level.
Right,
that's fine.
Everyone's banned. Everyone.
No, you have a lovely new stadium.
You've ruined it. Yeah. You're all banned. Hang on a minute. We've got 61,000 to fill.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
They always make that real. It happens at Fratton Park. Or always used to. I haven't been there for a wee while, but it always used to happen. They'd make a token effort. Don't go on the pitch.
Don't do that.
Of course, it was here.
And none of the steward would stop it. Because they can't.
You've got 100 stewards against 35,000 people or whatever it is. I like them odds. But 14 consecutive home wins in the league, and Spurs' best league finish since 1963. A good way to send off White Hart Lane, of course. And Wanyama scored a lovely header in that game, didn't he?
It was great. Ronaldo-esque, wasn't it? Just the way he sort of hung in the air. Bang!
Yeah. Very much so,
One of the very
terrible
impressive
defending
things.
Wasn't it Rooney on him or something?
Odd choice, that. One of the really impressive things about Victor Wanyama is I think he was sent off three times last season, wasn't he? But
he's
really
been very disciplined.
Out of his game, yeah.
I'll tell you something. Under Pochettino, so many of those Spurs players have improved, and you know, we're quite happy, certainly, that a lot of them have been the English players. The fullbacks are the obvious example. Wanyama's improved. Now, he's always been decent. He's always had great ability.
Well, the criticism of Wanyama would always be, I remember even back from his Celtic days, would be that he would rouse and lift himself for real big games, like televised games or whatever. And at Southampton, it was the same.
Well, down tools, didn't he?
You can get away with it at a club of that level, but when you go up to the level that he's at now with Spurs, he had to. I mean, everyone knew he had it in him, but he's not been able to get away with that sort of thing. And it is a hallmark of a great coach, by the way, to improve a player like that.
You wonder as well if players with that sort of mindset feel that when they are at a big club, every game's a massive game, so they put more into it. They just, that spotlight is that.
And that's why Sissoko's played so many minutes.
Exactly. It's sink or swim, Peter.
Exactly.
He's chosen one of them.
It's sink or swim, and Sissoko is at the bottom of the deep end.
Just having a lovely lay down.
Yeah.
Wanyama's
tied to bricks.
It's sink or swim, and Sissoko's grown scales. The man has got gills on the side of his neck.
But like you said, a lot of discipline, a lot of intelligent performances as well. You know, against Man City when he went at the back, you know, he really is a superb player in that holding midfield role. And it's such an asset. There's not many players around like that these days.
But you wonder.
And Spurs have got to make sure they keep hold of him.
But you wonder about the management, how good the management is, because we've seen players, for example, going to other clubs that are bigger, like Lallana moving to Liverpool. And he struggled at first. I mean, he's great now, but he struggled at first. But look at the Spurs ones, Ali, Dyer, Wanyama. they've all really hit the ground running. They've all done really, with the exception of Sissoko, because there is an occasional lost cause that you can't do anything about.
Yeah. True,
but then Walker
and Rose have grown into the. Well, I said grown in. They've been improved massively under Pochettino.
Yeah, but Rose was always at the club anyway.
But I'm saying that under Pochettino, he's really, really kicked on, and perhaps age and whatnot is
also Davies and Trippier being right behind them has really spurred them on.
Yeah, true enough. I mean, well, I say they need to keep hold of Wanyama as if there's been rumours that I've not seen any rumours, but actually, the man they need to keep hold of is Pochettino.
There has been a bit of talk from helpful Harry Redknapp a few weeks ago in the Evening Standard in particular about how they need to pay their players more to make sure they keep them. I'd be surprised if Spurs lost anyone, because Pochettino said a few weeks ago, didn't he, like, we only need to sell if we want to.
I think the Kyle Walker thing is something that's not going away, but other than that, I would agree.
Yeah. We're going to talk more Premier League after this.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for emails with PTD.
You up for this one, Pete?
Am I up for this
one? Yeah, you're up
for it. I've got a handful of emails, because I'm up for it.
Any more Beano chat?
No more Beano chat.
No, I can't believe no one's got in touch about the Beano.
I can't believe that.
They must have done.
Can't believe the Beano haven't offered to put us on the front cover.
Beano.
The Beano.
They probably thought about it and thought, now we can have anyone. So we
could just draw them.
Yeah. David Airy got in touch because he was once given a space raider by Terry McDermott.
As a little airy boy.
A space raider.
Well, he was offered from the bag a space raider. He didn't just come over and go, yes, son, have a space raider.
Terry McDermott's eating 10p a packet crisp.
They're
probably 15p now, but 10p then.
Joseph says a friend of mine served Riyad Mahrez in Wagamama's in Leicester. Apparently his ginger beer was too spicy, so his girlfriend had to take it back.
Wow. Ginger beer was too spicy.
I know. Maybe one of those Fentimans ones. They're really nice.
Yeah, but they're not that spicy, are they?
They're spicier than the average, aren't they? Fiery ginger beer.
Any talk of a tip?
No tip. Just hot ginger beer. Henry Winkler.
What?
The Fonz. Well, yeah. Henry, I'm sure he's had it before, but there's a man by the name of Henry Winkler, and it is his name, because that's his email address.
He could have just invented the email address.
He could have, but it's a bit of work just for the sake of pretending you're the Fonz, isn't it?
You're still working for the NSA, Peter. It's definitely him. Yeah. It's Henry Winkler at hotmail.com.
Actually, you look a bit like Snowden.
Let's email.
I've not got my passport on me, but look, here's my email address.
Yeah. Let's email BarackObama at gmail.com.
Let's email Steve at hotmail.com. It was last June, my wife and I went to a nice restaurant in the southwest suburbs of Denver, and Diego Costa was not there. Nicest thing he could have done for us.
Lovely.
Dan says, when I was a kid, my dad ran our Saturday football team, the Stapleford Sharks. We were a bit skint and needed new kits, so we tried negotiating a sponsorship deal with the Checkers Arms down the road. Unfortunately, the league put the kibosh on it. Something about not wanting to encourage 11-year-olds to be drinking Super Skull. I can tell you now it didn't bloody work. Anyway, as a novel means of raising the moolah, my dad came up with a genius plan of writing to every manager in the Premier League, along with presenters of Match of the Day, Lynham, Lineker, Hansen et al., to ask for a simple fiver. If everyone got back to us, we'd get £150 a job done. Unfortunately, these multi-millionaire managers were loath to send us cash in the post, so a majority never got back to us, including Wenger and Ferguson. We did, however, have replies from the two oldest and, to my mind, most gentlemanly managers in the league at the time. Sir Bobby sent us a crisp £5 note, along with a signed photo that we could raffle off. Sir Graham Taylor then went above and beyond with £25 of his own cash and a lovely personal handwritten letter. What a blog. They might not be top of the tipping league in terms of value, but it shows the class of two men from the game. We ended up getting sponsored by a local car dealer. Team folded after a year. Thanks for that, Dan.
I want to know what they did with the £30.
I know. Yeah. Carl Fuchs says, in your talk about the Neville managerial coefficient, you missed out the Neville sibling who has eventually and actually achieved the most in sport management.
The sister.
Tracy
Neville, yeah.
The younger sister to Gary and twin to Phil.
She's 12.5% better than Gary.
She's so good. Tracy has already managed two netball national league teams and is now the England national netball team manager, taking England to the semi-finals of the 2015 World Cup, the semi-finals of the 2016 World Series, and to third place in the international rankings, and in 2016 was awarded an OBE for services to netball.
Amazing. Well, it still only gets to a semi. It's England, isn't it? Nothing you can do about that.
Gary and Phil will remain in their little sister's professional shadow for the foreseeable future.
Thank you,
Carl Fuchs, for that particular email. If you want to get in touch with the show, as always, show@thefootballramble.com. It's as easy and as simple
as that.
Analoid as that.
Love lovely old job.
No Beano shirt. I'm disappointed with that.
Beano shirt.
It'll be back again, I'm sure.
The people who listen to the Dandy would get in touch and say, what's with your Beano
shirt? DC Thompson and Co.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of lovely old jobs, Crystal Palace 4, Hull 0.
Yeah.
Allardyce, it's one of the hardest I've done.
Wow.
Or it's the hardest he's done, he said. I love that.
I may have been guilty of perhaps believing in the narrative a touch too much when it comes to Crystal Palace.
Don't apologise for being a romantic.
No, I'm an old romantic. I really wanted the last... I don't know what Sky Sports are going to do next Sunday. They've got nothing to say. Mm. So, I mean, Palace were clearly far better than Hull
this weekend. I'll tell you what they'll do. There's a bit of a... There's a few teams in there who will be trying to get into the top half. You sort of Leicester's... who else is there? Maybe Bournemouth are in the top half.
Top four could still be undecided.
Top four as well, but I reckon it could be like, the race for a top half finish.
No, I mean, we were talking about earlier, and Lord Ramble was saying they'll start talking about the prize money.
Yeah, right.
Different positions in the table.
I think that, but when I saw teams with their best ever finish.
Yeah, when I saw Ranocchia make that mistake, I thought, come on.
God.
Come on.
Come on, get it together, guys.
We all want a relegation battle worthy of the name here, and you are letting the side down. Ironically, because that has a relegation before.
Yeah, right.
But we want a relegation battle.
Yeah. I mean, that could not have been a worse start, could it? Wilfried Zaha said after the game, like, once that goal had gone in, Palace's nerves settled. And I think, obviously, that goal was a result of Hull's nerves. And I wonder if Swansea winning the day before that just ruined them. And it's weird. You see this happen sometimes, don't you? A team just don't turn up. Was it Norwich who lost 6-0 to Fulham on the last day when they needed to get something? Teams just collapse because, you know, if you go a goal down in a game like that, you surely can't help but think, oh, God, we might go down today. What happens if we go down? Will I get sold? Will I get a move somewhere? All these things are surely going to go through your head because you're a human being and they affect you. And that is not a mindset you need to be in.
Mm. Yeah, I just thought it was such a shame for Hull, really was. But with that home loss to Sunderland, I mean, that is the biggest nail in the coffin. It really was. But
I demoralise you.
I just loved Sam Allardyce at the end. Just saying, it's the hardest one I've done. Like, he is a gun for hire things, and he clearly is.
He had a bit more time at Sunderland, didn't he? I think he went to Sunderland in October of that season, and they had 3 points from 8 games.
Mm. I mean, bear in mind, they don't turn up until then anyway, so that's all you get with Sunderland.
Yeah, I know. That's basically why he got the job. I don't think they obviously hadn't won a game, but Paul Clement deserves a special amount of credit, by the way, because they had 12 points from 19 games when he took over in early January. And for him to do such, I'm really pleased for him actually. It was a funny situation because I really wanted Silver to do well at Hull because of the way he was treated when he came here.
He did well.
Yeah, he did do well. Right. But now he's obviously terrible again according to the media because he didn't keep him up. But I really wanted Clement and Silver to stay up, but obviously it couldn't happen. But Paul Clement's done a fantastic job. There was a game he won his first game, didn't he? I think he won his first game against Crystal Palace actually. And then after that, they lost 4-0 to Arsenal, and they weren't actually that bad. Mm. I think they might have even got to half time at 0-0 or something like that. And then at that point you thought they might have something here, and then they managed to really kick on. But Clement's finally stepped out of that number two sort of shadow that he was in.
Yeah.
And it'll be absolutely great to see what they can do next season, actually. It really will.
And the thing that excites me about Clement as well is his education has been at an elite level, isn't it? He's been at Chelsea, he's been at Bayern Munich, he's been at Real Madrid. So he's got experience of that real sort of top level of how stuff works. So it'd be great to see where he kicks on to.
Well, if you think that he's coming exactly at the halfway stage and they've got 12 points in the first half of the season, they're going to probably end the season with 41 points, I think. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have 28 points in the second half. And he's over doubled how good they are, which I think he's done fantastic. But Hull were really, really disappointed.
They were really disappointed. I mean, Angel Rangel tweeted celebrations from the Swansea players after Palace went 3-0 up, and presumably he's grateful to his old enemy Sam Allardyce for that one.
Yeah.
Because they had a little... remember when Sam Allardyce was laughing at him?
That was Chico Flores, mate.
Was it Chico Flores?
Yeah, Chico Flores chucked himself on the floor.
Forgive me.
Allardyce was like... I wonder what link you were trying to make then. I suspected you might have...
That's poor from me.
...mistaken it for a good old Chico. Oh. How can you forget Chico?
That is bad. Yeah. I was just thinking, Big Sam, I've got the napkin one in. What else can I do?
Yeah, you've got excited. It's fair enough.
Yeah, I got excited with Palace going down. So yeah, I feel the same way. I got a load of tweets from Palace fans after they won. Boy, cheers for that.
Yeah,
right. Most dramas.
Yeah. Did you see? Obviously, Swansea beat Sunderland. Of course, they've stayed up as we've said. David Moyes walked straight down the tunnel after the match, saying the fans were showing their disappointment at me, and I didn't want to make things worse.
Just wanted to get home. Not enough. Yeah. It's, Jesus.
I had a look at the rules, and whatever I did, which Stoke still have been relegated. So.
This was always going to happen. I've been, been saying it all season. I don't know why they're surprised.
I just, well, he believes that no one can make a success of it at Sunderland without some sort of reform and financial backing. I mean, he may well have a point.
He certainly can't.
Yeah, it's bad there, isn't it? I mean, I know you've got to factor in how bad Sunderland have been, but to Swansea's credit, they didn't look like a team, you know, who've been in a relegation battle. They had a fluidity to them, and I think they'll be all right next season. I'd be surprised if they're back in it again.
David Moyes does say that about Sunderland, but I mean, a lot of managers have managed to keep them in the Premier League.
Yeah.
He just
always run very close to the line, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not suggesting they're a great, well-run club.
It wasn't for very long, and I know that you can be a little bit picky and choosy with some of these examples, but Paolo Di Canio kept them up.
Yeah, there we go.
And I think as well, Jermaine Defoe.
Powered by fascism.
Jermaine Defoe this year, I think he got his highest goal tally since maybe 2010.
Yeah.
So, like, he's really gone above and beyond there as well. Yeah. It's not like they've not had, you know, some bright sparks helping them out.
Peter, are you suggesting that David Moyes was too left wing to keep them?
Defoe's got the old relegation release clause as well, so don't expect him to go anywhere.
Well, he'll be away.
Yeah, he'll be
go back to West Ham?
Bournemouth as well.
He'll be knocking around in the Premier League next season. My words.
West Ham got hammered by Liverpool. I thought that performance deserved a mention for the Reds.
Yeah, Arsenal really needed a bloody big fat lasagna from West Ham there, and they didn't give it us.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would, you know, look, I don't want to take anything away from Liverpool, who won 4-0 away from home. They deserve credit for that, of course. West Ham were absolutely shit.
Abject. All over the place.
Shit is the word, isn't it? In that match, they were dog pops.
Yeah, you get two televisions and put that Spurs performance, that Liverpool performance next to each other. That is disgraceful.
Mm.
They were hunting in packs against Spurs, running themselves into the ground.
Yeah.
And the third goal for Liverpool when a player got a head injury, or apparently got a head injury, I'm not really sure the upshot of that, but it's the referee's responsibility to stop the game. He didn't do so. James Collins just gave up. He let because he just goes past him and scores a third goal.
Well, this is out of order.
Yeah, they were awful. Totally terrible. Yeah.
Sturridge had a nice time. It was good to see.
It was good to see him still have that sort of clinical sort of finishing after he's been out. It's the first game he started for such a long time.
It might have been January. I wonder as a lot of us do, whether he'll be there next season. But Liverpool, you know, it's
could have been about seven. Origi hit the bar.
It's good to see Liverpool finishing the season strongly, because I would love it if next season, under Klopp, maybe get one or two more transfers in over the summer to actually have a proper onslaught, because they were so good at the start of the season and there was talk of the title and Klopp was sort of saying, oh, we're not talking about the title.
He's done a good job
and having
overall,
a little smile and a wink at the camera at the same time.
He's done a good job overall, Marcus, I think.
Oh, he has done, yeah. I mean, if they finish third, that's a good season.
Yeah.
It is a good season. Chelsea have been so blisteringly good.
Yeah.
You know, but before we move on, a little word on Patrick Bamford's celebration for Middlesbrough.
Yeah, it was
delightful.
He was beaming in the post-match interview as well. He just never stopped.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, did he make it too much about himself, do you think?
Because he's just allowed to get a goal. I mean, you're a striker and you go that long without scoring in the top flight. I mean, you've got to be happy. You can't argue with that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know they're relegated and stuff, and it's a little bit embarrassing for the guy, but I mean, he's got his own career to think about as well.
Yeah. He does.
He won't necessarily be there next season.
Well, do something exciting, because, I mean, they're not going to remember this season in your particular career, so do something exciting, then managers will maybe have you in their mind when they're going to sign players next season.
I think there'll be some great pub trivia questions about Patrick Bamford in about 15 years' time. Put it that way. But, I mean, just before you move on from the West Ham thing, I mean, they've had a really funny season, West Ham. I mean, Bilic's had a lot to deal with. I think they've made some really poor decisions throughout the club, and it's been tough for them moving to a new stadium. But if you want an example of why West Ham are struggling in these types of games, have you ever known an owner of a club in the Premier League to be more vocal than that lot at West Ham?
Yeah,
they never shut up. They can't stay out of the press. Mm. They can't stop talking or briefing against different people. They can't stop putting their opinions in the media, which completely unsettles the entire club. And at the same time, they let their team and their manager get away with ridiculous performances like that at home. It would be their final home game of the season, wouldn't it? I mean, some send off that is. If you can raise your game against Spurs, why can't you raise your game against Liverpool? Liverpool are a big team. It'd be great for you to beat Liverpool.
But
what would your fans think if you beat Liverpool at home? They'd love it.
They just look knackered at the end of a slightly demoralising season, I think.
But they weren't knackered against Spurs a week ago. Well, so I mean, they just get away with it because that's the mentality that they have at the club.
Maybe that's the West Ham way.
Mm.
And who are we to judge them?
It certainly seems to be. Yeah.
And before we get to Ladbrokes, the playoffs happened in the Championship. Fulham drew 1-1 with the Yaps Chaps in the Championship playoff semi final first leg, and Sheffield Wednesday drew 0-0 with Huddersfield. Both ties nicely poised.
Mm.
Who do we fancy to go through in the final?
I feel like a public service announcement. I should say that for everyone who at the moment definitely wondering, away goals don't count in the playoffs.
No,
very difficult for people to understand.
And the Champions League could learn from that.
It's always that question raises its ugly head.
It does. Yeah, I tell you what, I think Reading will be pleased to get a draw there because Fulham are putting on a bit of pressure.
And
I
nice goal.
Yeah, and I think they'll be quite pleased. But I fancy a Fulham Sheffield Wednesday final.
Yeah, what makes you say that? Why Wednesday?
Because I think they both finished the season quite with a bit of momentum. I think Sheffield Wednesday, they've got a pretty good defensive record.
They also went to Huddersfield and spoiled, and they were able to do that. I mean, and it's going to be an absolutely pumping atmosphere at Hillsborough.
I think with Huddersfield, they sort of down tools a bit too early in the season, and I think it was kind of like, right, let's have a bit of a rest and we'll see, and we're already there, it's fine. But sometimes if you do that, you can switch off. But it's a bit like if you've been playing football and you have a little rest, you know, maybe you're doing
it's like the downfall of the Labour Party, mate. It's all about momentum.
Big Vag is one for a big occasion though, isn't he?
Well, we shall certainly see. We're going to talk more playoffs though after this.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. The preview show, sponsored by Bet365, will be out this Friday. Our man in the chair got it right, Luke.
Yeah, Michael Laurie, Bournemouth to beat Burnley with over 2.5 goals. He raised £143.75 for prostate cancer. You can't argue with that. So Michael is still in the hot seat. Will he still be in the hot seat as the season finishes and have to sit in that seat throughout the summer?
Will he have to do pre-season as well?
He might have
pre-season
to.
Pre-season training. Bet365. I love it.
He gets in the hot seat when we get in the studio seats. That's when he's in there. So hopefully he can keep his run to the end of the season.
I'll tell you something, the betters are getting better.
They are.
They don't often just last 1 week and then they're off.
You better, man.
That's the Who.
Bit of the Who for you.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
You can pay for performance rights for that.
Yeah, right, indeed. In the League One playoffs, Stuart McCall's Bradford will play Neil Harris's Millwall in the final of that playoff. Great for Millwall, considering what's been happening at that club. Poor old Fleetwood Town only scored one goal in their last five home games and were edged out by Bradford.
It's not a great time to get into that sort of run.
It was a comfortable 0-0.
Fleetwood Town of Championship would be crazy though, wouldn't it?
It would be. They've had quite the rise, haven't they?
But coming in for Jamie Vardy.
That's right.
Imagine that.
Bradford and Millwall, I mean, those two sides really are Championship sides. Yeah. I think a lot of them would
well,
certainly.
Millwall have flirted between the two divisions for quite a while now. But, I mean, as you said, what's been going on with them this season? It's great for them to get a Wembley performance in there.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, especially because it raises the notoriety. That's probably a bad word to use. But, like with their own council and stuff, they can't be chucking out a Championship team rather than a League One team.
Yeah.
only makes it harder. Very true, yeah. In the League Two playoffs, which are of no concern to Portsmouth. No.
I sometimes dip my toe in, have a little
no concern
see
at
how,
all.
See how the peasants are living.
Yeah. Just take a little break if you want now. Yeah. Just go and have a little walk around outside. We'll do
to
the
be fair, for you. I've got some seriously bad memories from the playoffs last season. So it might all come crashing back to me.
Portsmouth's on the coast, get on the beach.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Bournemouth Beach is nice.
There were some good games in the playoffs, though.
League Two playoffs, there were goals galore. Long-suffering Blackpool beat Luton 3-2.
God, yeah. Speaking of clubs, he deserves a bit of luck. What a hat trick in that game!
Yeah, by Cullen.
Astounding.
Yeah, great stuff. Former Luton man, of course. And Carlisle drew 3-3 with Exeter City.
Yeah, Carlisle have been like that all season. Now, in 46 games, they scored 69 and conceded 68.
Lovely.
They basically got into the playoffs. I think they finished sixth, and they got into the playoffs with a goal difference of +1.
I love it. It's really Sunday league, isn't it? Yeah. It's like if you score that many and concede that many, even you don't know if you're good. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's entertainment for a season ticket, isn't it?
Oh, I'd say.
But it would be to recap. It would be fantastic to see Blackpool turn off the Pompey Highway because it's important for them. Yeah, absolutely.
It really is. Yeah. Forest Green. What about this in the National League? Forest Green beat Tranmere Rovers at Wembley to reach the Football League for the first time in their 128-year history. Gutting for Tranmere Rovers because I'm sure everyone here can remember Tranmere in. Was it with the Championship or
when they had John
the
Aldridge there.
Tranmere in this. I think I've seen Portsmouth play Tranmere in the second flight.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. You know, so gutting for them. But Forest Green, my goodness,
I think it's a tiny town there.
It
might even be a village.
I think is it not the smallest settlement? I'm going to say to have had a club in the Football League.
It's only like maybe 5,000 or 6,000 people in the whole village.
Do they all live in the stadium?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, yeah.
That's how they fill it.
It's like a big commune. If you knew the owner, it probably would be.
I was about to say, you know, Dale Vince is the chairman, and he's not your average, and all that kind of would add up.
He's got two first names that are really American-y kind of.
Dale Vince.
Yeah. Dale Vince.
Yeah. Well, he joined the club, didn't he? Because they asked him for help because they were really struggling. And apparently, it was never sort of his plan to take over, but it got to a point where if he pulled out, I think him and his business partner, it would have sort of left the club to ruin. So they felt a responsibility to stay there. And I think that's part of why they've tried to do things a little bit differently because they've had this strange opportunity fall into their laps. And they only sell vegan food. Don't they?
That's right.
They have solar panels on the roof. It's a really interesting progressive club.
I was hoping
that it wouldn't be wacky. But then I saw him wearing that Hawaiian shirt. I thought, oh God, he is wacky.
Yeah, I know
it's
what you
League
mean.
Too ready for, is the Football League ready for this wackiness?
Well, we'll find out next season.
Pete, you're the wacky correspondent. What do you think?
How many Tisdales is he?
He's probably. Well, the thing about. Yeah, it's a good question. I think he's probably five Tisdales.
I think he'd probably get
five Tisdales to a Vince.
That's high on the Tid scale.
Yeah. He has a company called Ecotricity.
Yeah.
And he's quite the environmentalist, of course, and vegan. Forest Green became the world's first all-vegan football club in 2015.
I mean, Forest Green's quite a vegan-y kind of name, isn't it?
Yeah. All of the players are completely organic.
The pitch is.
Yeah.
They laid manure on the pitch, apparently, a few seasons ago.
They did.
Yeah.
What are you telling
Not
me?
Not the cows.
Right.
What are you telling me?
Bring in the cows.
I'm a football purist. I want to know what they're like on the pitch.
That's true.
Not what the pitch is made of.
Very true. Oh, did he not have a little dig? Was it Vince? Big Vincey have a little dig at Lincoln saying something like, our football identity, we know what we're about. We're not a long ball side like Lincoln City.
Lovely non-league dig.
Wow.
He also said on the radio today that whenever away fans come to the ground, they always sing, where's your burger van? Where's your burger van?
Yeah.
It's just banter.
It's nice.
And they're managed by Mark Cooper. I saw manage Swindon a few years ago, and that's all I can remember about him.
What do they put in their teas?
Manure.
It'd have to be. I'm going to go soy milk.
Soy milk.
It's vegan.
Almond.
The thing is,
the fellow will be playing down there soon.
Marcus, Pete's the kind of guy I'll happily pay £8 for a soy milk latte, so he's on board with that. Doesn't matter.
I'm more of an Americano. I'm going quite similar in my coffee tastes.
You don't go soy milk then, no?
No.
Almond milk?
No. Just skimmed milk. I can't stand semi-skimmed. No.
Why?
I've gone full red top.
Have you?
Why?
Crazy.
What changed?
You don't see the point. You don't drink hot drinks, Marcus.
No.
You're scared of them.
Yeah. Exactly, that backs me up more.
To follow up on the gherkin chat from last week, Marcus refuses to drink hot drinks or eat any condiment.
Yeah.
That's fair, isn't it? That's fair.
I'm trying to think of a condiment I do quite
gravy?
Like.
Gravy?
Yeah.
That's a hot sauce. Yeah.
I thought it was that one.
Balsamic.
It's a bit sweet. We kind of got the same taste, Marcus, me and you.
Anyway, Dale Vince genuinely did used to be a New Age traveller.
He did, yeah.
Back in the day, I was checking him out online. I think he left school and ended up just becoming a traveller.
Look, we're all looking forward to having old Vincey in the Premier League.
Now you're talking.
A few years.
The stadium would still be bigger than Bournemouth.
Why are you having a dig?
Have a dig at them, why not?
Yeah. South Coast rivals.
Because they're pathetic. That's why.
They're the second biggest club on the South Coast.
Yeah.
Love that. Right, come on. Let's go to the Netherlands. Let's go to a Dutch country, all right? Now, we go quickly there because it's a country we don't tend to visit unless something weird or wonderful happens. And, of course, something wonderful did happen. The 36-year-old Dirk Kuyt captained and scored a hat-trick for Feyenoord in their last game of the season, meaning they won the league for the first time since 1999.
It's amazing, isn't it? It was also, you know, he got to his 102nd goal, I think, with that. So hit for Feyenoord in his second spell there. Absolutely brilliant, just beautiful.
They're going to party like it's 1999. Yeah.
When he joined them, apparently everyone in Holland was laughing at him for saying that he thought within a few years they could challenge for the league title, and they were really struggling when he joined.
They were on the brink of financial ruin.
They're laughing now, Jim.
They were beaten 10-0 by PSV.
And they genuinely have turned it around, and it's so brilliant when you see a player be vindicated like that. 36 years old as well. He said it's his best day in football, and
dig at the Anfield faithful.
He was in a losing Champions League final, wasn't he? Which, you know, he's never going to be the same as
scored in that Champions League final. But he was always farmed out on the right side for Liverpool.
I always had a lot of love for Dirk Kuyt.
I think work rate alone, everyone loved Dirk
Kuyt. Well, because it was a strange one, wasn't it? Because he came over from the Netherlands having scored a boatload of goals, which he used to have all the time. Yeah. And some players translated and some didn't. Like Ruud van Nistelrooy was obviously amazing, but Alfonso Alves wasn't, for example.
Which category did Kesman fit into?
Well, I think you know which one. although he was very unlucky with injuries, to be fair to him. But Kuyt, he scored so many goals in the Dutch league, and at first I think people thought, oh, maybe it's not going to quite work out, but he just became a different type of player for Liverpool and worked so hard for them and contributed so much. Just pleased for him.
He's one of life's triers.
I agree, but it is nice, as you say, with a guy who puts that much work in, and as you say, Jim, some of the things he said when he first went there, to see it all come to fruition at the age of 36 and not only winning the league, getting a hat-trick with a captain's armband on.
Well, to get your 100th goal within it for the club. It's perfect.
It's absolutely magnificent. It took less than a minute to open the score in that game, Pete.
It was good. And those pictures of just when he scores and everyone jumping on top of him and stuff. Yeah. Like a Renaissance painting. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I think that was the opening goal. I don't think that was to make it 3-0 right at the end.
He has got that look about him as well.
he could hold a ruffle.
He's been painted by an impressionist.
Yeah.
I quite enjoy that the Eredivisie, the trophy is a plate and not a cup.
Yeah. I like that.
And it sort of made me think, should there be more
food on it?
Yeah. Well, the Premier, should there be more sort of cutlery?
Oh my God, that would be like the ultimate sort of managerial prize would be if you win a full set of
yeah.
I was going to say dinner
cup.
Equipment.
I've got the plate.
Yeah. On
I need a bowl. The super fork trophy.
The Premier League's not really a cup though, is it? It's like a trophy, really.
Yeah.
The World Cup's a weird thing.
The World Cup's not a cup, is it?
That's a trophy. That's
more a club.
It's a trophy, yeah. Yeah, well, there we are. Right, let's go to the highlights of the weekend, shall we?
Yeah, Shall I do the listeners' highlights as usual, and then you guys can chip in with some of your own afterwards? Does that work?
Dirk Kuyt was probably everybody's highlight, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I mean, you're wrong.
Yeah, okay. I was a lot of Ajax fans that listen to this podcast.
You can imagine all you want, but you're wrong.
Prove it.
Pete, get Marcus to catch up, will you? Here's one from Ian McDonald. He says, got to be the clip of Diego Costa getting champagne in his eyes during the Chelsea celebration, then trying to rinse it out with Lucasade, and then telling the camera to fuck off.
I didn't see that, that's fantastic.
That is perfect, Diego Costa. As far as I know, he doesn't even really speak English that well. Yeah. So he's obviously learnt the important words.
He knows that one.
Yeah, because Fabregas famously sweared in the post-match interview as well, didn't
he? Yeah, he said football is fucking fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
So yeah, that was a good spot, Ian.
Fuck off. But imagine with Diego Costa putting Lucas in his eyes.
To wash it out.
He would then think that was someone else's fault.
Yeah. Oh, 100%, yeah. One of the physios will probably get fired for that.
Uh-huh.
Matthew Innes, the guy who mooned on Eurovision, classic butt work. Did you guys see that?
I saw that.
Well, Pete, a lot of people get in touch saying that you look like two of the three Eurovision presenters.
I look like everybody.
You do. Your face is like a blank canvas. You're getting
weedy men with glasses and a terrible hairline. Well, seems to be my kind of.
I couldn't have put it better myself.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Pete, is that like you know you really do look like everyone when people are saying you look like two people who are on the television at the same time,
who side by side don't look that similar together.
Yeah,
but obviously when you fit in there, then.
they do.
And if you didn't see the Eurovision thing, I mean, what were you doing with your life? Because it was brilliant. But yeah. There was a bit at the end where the last year's winner sung her new single or whatever, and a guy, I think he was Australian. Mm. If the cap fits, yeah. He had an Australian flag over his shoulder
because they're involved, aren't they?
And he got on really casually and just got his ass out and then walked off. Yeah. Someone bundled him.
He had lots of time to do it as well.
There we go. Dan Shoesmith, friend of the Ramble. Shoesmith said Spurs celebrating their move 3 feet to the left, which is fair enough. The voice of a West Ham fan. And we've given them a lot of pelters on this show already today, so we'll let him have that one. John Palmer says they're not even moving to a new stadium, as a new one overlaps the old. They're actually even nearer to Water Lane, as we already mentioned.
Well, a lot of the memories, Jim, and you'll notice that they didn't talk about the most recent title win at White Hart Lane, which was bizarre. Mention that today.
Thanks, Marcus.
There you go.
I've got quite a long one here, but I think you guys will enjoy it. And the guy, Jim, he's called Jim, not you, Jim. He's taken the time to type this out on Facebook, so I'm going to read it in its entirety. He says, "Dear Ramblers, long-time fan, first-time contributor to Highlights of the Week, so bear with me. As you will all probably know, last week was a very important week for a lot of people, especially in my place of work. I'm a primary school teacher, and of course, last week was the SATs week, SATs, you know, the exams they do for kids there." He says, "Now, to most, this isn't a big deal, but to us teachers it is. These children are stressed, the staff are stressed, everyone is stressed. As a result, we asked our head teacher to perform a calming assembly for the first exam. The head was very gracious and agreed. She even chose the perfect music for the occasion. Now, personally, I'm not really into music from a Church of England school, so I usually drift off when any form of music is played there. However, this was different. This music touched my soul. It calmed me down like no other melody could. It worked completely. After the assembly, I asked the head who it was we were listening to. I was expecting some hippie response, but alas, her answer was better. It was the Sven-Göran Eriksson collection, which at the bottom states a personal selection of inspirational music from Sven. What a guy." Aww. "I just wanted to say well done to all our children who completed their SATs, and I hope that none of them are listening to this football ramble filth. Thank you for the show." That's from Jim, and he even enclosed a little photo of Sven on the cover of the CD.
That's amazing. Lovely old job.
The man is still influencing the game.
Yeah.
What else have I got here?
That's the game, but you know, some of those children could go on to play in the game.
Yeah. Tom Float says, "Highlight of the week was for me sitting in the upper tier of the North Stand at White Hart Lane waiting for my fellow Spurs fans to clear the pitch so the farewell ceremony could start. Little did I know that the 42 legends were about to come would struggle against the memory of watching clearly intoxicated men of all ages endlessly replicating the Robbie King cartwheel and roly-poly celebration complete with finger pistols." "This is the way the lane ends, not with a bang but with a bunch of drunken louts doing crappy renditions of an altogether mediocre gymnastics set." Fair enough. Matt Stinch, "The club I've watched for 19 straight years in the National League, Forest Green Rovers, making it to the Football League and that's on to FIFA next season, massively punching above our weight, but with a village of a population of just over 5,000 and taking over half of that to Wembley. We also got him. I also got on a BT Sport in full green morph suit." He's put a picture on. It's not big and it's not clever, Matt. And I'll finish with this one by Chris Copley, who says, "At the New York Red Bulls LA Galaxy game last night, we went down 3-0 to the visitors, and the supporters section, yes, that's a thing because it's MLS, was really quiet. So I, along with a few people around me, started singing, 'We're going to win 4-3 to kill off the last few minutes. People tried to hush us and tell us to be quiet, but we kept going, and then we scored. Everyone in our section started having hope and singing the song with us. Then the final whistle blew immediately." Given those bandwaggers exactly what they deserve.
There's a lot of lessons for everybody there. Yeah. Not all of them negative.
There we go. Indeed. So that's the highlights of the week section from our lovely listeners.
I think we've got to mention a highlight that Cristiano Ronaldo scored his 400th goal for Real Madrid. Now he's the joint top scorer in the entire history of Europe's top five leagues with 366 goals.
Do you think he'll get another one?
Maybe. Pulling level with the great Jimmy Greaves.
I think he might get another one. Yeah. I'll just put it out there.
Even before the end of the season.
It's incredible that it's Jimmy Greaves who held the record.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I knew Greaves had a fantastic record, but my goodness, absolutely fantastic. They look like they're going to win the league now.
Yeah. Mine was the Bayern Munich-Leipzig game. I don't know if you guys saw this, but it's had absolutely everything. Because effectively, all it was to play for was pride, because Bayern are confirmed as champions, obviously, and Leipzig were second. But Leipzig scored in the first minute. They were 3-1 up and 4-2 up at points, but they lost 5-4. And Lewandowski equaled his record from last season, which is his career best. And the game was won in the 95th minute with a rolling back the years Arjen Robben just dribbling around about 15 players and banging one in. It was just ridiculous.
If you haven't seen the goal, let me describe it for you, right? He ran down the right.
Did he cut inside?
Really quickly. Right, outpaced the defender. Then he cut inside. And then he just knocked it past the keeper.
Right.
Unbelievable.
My heart is something we've completely forgot to mention. I've got no problem with West Ham particularly, but I just want to just to add this. Andre Ayew's miss.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
Incredible stuff. Yeah. They had two bites at the cherry.
1 yard out, hit the post.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing was, when he hit it, he was like, oh my gosh, oh, that's lucky, it's come back to me. I've put it in and everyone will forget that. Oh, I've done it again.
Yeah.
I have another highlight I forgot to mention earlier, actually. Did you see when Brad Guzan gave away a penalty for Middlesbrough, the Middlesbrough fans were chanting, off, off, off,
their own keeper. Nice.
Two things from me. Yes. That block doing cork on the field of White Hart Lane.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
That was good. Off his mate's iPad, it looked like.
That
very
was one
strange.
Of his highlights.
And also Jim Neal, listener Jim Neal, tweeting the show saying, is there an issue taking an eight-year-old to the Football Ramble live show at Hackney?
Eight.
Fuck yes. Fuck yes. Fuck yes. But if you do,
there's not an issue as long as you don't have an issue with me calling social services.
The only small people allowed in will be me.
Yeah. I think he also said in that tweet he's a Millwall fan, so he's used to his fair share of swearing. That's the least of your worries, mate.
Yeah.
Do not take an 8-year-old to anything Pete's doing.
That's right. a good point. But if you do want to come to the Hackney show, it's really simple to do so. Check out the Hackney Empire website or our social medias at Football Ramble. Tickets available for you to buy. Pick them up.
It's getting close.
And our plans are in place.
Our last brainstorming session made me doubt my own existence. so do get involved.
It may be the last thing we ever do.
Mark has cancelled all his new family tickets.
Yeah. My giddy aunt.
We basically brought a load of mayonnaise along.
As long as it doesn't end up in my mouth.
No, exactly.
But I've said that before. little mention for Rafa Benitez, surely. Mm. We think Rafa's a good guy. Greeting all the runners at the start of the run for the 96 race in Stanley Park in Liverpool.
He's still got a place in the Wirral, I think. He still loves the area and stuff. So,
he shook everyone's hand that started the race pretty much.
I loved that.
It was Tom Cruise-esque. He had selfies with everybody.
the last running road race I did the Great South Run a few years ago. I'd have bloody loved Benitez to be at the end to shake my hand. I had a really nice
this was at the start. He was delaying people, if anything.
Oh, was he? Okay, I wouldn't want it at the start.
Get on my face, Benitez.
Yeah,
focus.
Give me a team talk or nothing.
We've got to end it there. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. Do get your Hackney Live tickets. Come on, people. It's going to be great. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
See ya.
And goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
and receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.